as a presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hi there! How in the world are you today? This is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And Monday through Friday, I have the privilege of coming to you and talking to you from God's Word. And I am really, really excited about this passage of Scripture we are going to be talking about today. If you do not think that God speaks to the practical aspects and to the practical wisdom and strategies of real life, then you are going to be sadly mistaken today, because we are going to be in Isaiah 28 and discussing what God had to say to his people. And we're going to be talking about some real life aspects of agriculture. Now, I grew up, we had gardens. I never really grew up on a farm. We had farm animals, but never all at one time. But want to share with you some practical aspects about the seasons that you and I will go through in life. And so we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 28. We do want to say thank you today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any work done with pouring concrete or lane block, whatever it might be, you can give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and it will be a blessing to them, and they in turn will be a blessing to you. And so they can work faster than you are. They can do it better than you can, and they can probably do it for a comparable price, if not cheaper. And so I encourage you to give them a call. They have decades of experience right here in Brevard County. And so give them a call, 536-5804. So let's get into the Word today. This is going to be our last day in Acts chapter 28. There's a lot to be said about the chapter, and I just from as far as yesterday's program, let me say this: there is a whole lot of lying going on during campaign season, and so you and I, we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. You know, if a person tells me a lie and I believe them, The first time that happens, I was like, well, shame on them for doing that. And then the second time, if they do that, then it's on me. There was a person, I was dealing with at one point in time, and they kept falling for the same lie over and over and over and over again. And, my prayers ceased from praying from the person that was doing the lying to the person, is like, okay, God, whatever is conditionally wrong in their life, I want you to repair that part of their foundation. And so if you are susceptible to being lied to, now I'll be honest with you, when somebody lies to me, I want to go to the restroom and check the mirror and make sure that I don't have stupid written across my forehead. Because I don't want to be stupid. I don't want people thinking that I'm stupid enough that they can lie to me. And so you and I, let's not believe the devil's lies. Let's buy into God's truth. Amen. So let's get into verse number 23, Isaiah, the 28th chapter, the 23rd verse. It says, "Give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat and rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him, capital H there, referring to God, for he instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with a cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. What that passage of Scripture just told you right there is that God wants to teach us the various aspects, the timings, the season. He wants to teach us how to do our job with excellence. It says in verse number 23, give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. In verse number 26, it says, for he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. In verse number 29, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. So as you are on your way to work this morning, maybe you're already there and listening, or you're getting ready to go, I want to encourage you to approach God and say, God, would you teach me how to do my job better? You hear me talk about my family a lot. I've had people that have encountered some of my family members in unexpected places, and then they revealed that they were listeners to the radio program, and they said, I feel like I know your whole family. I'm a blessed man. I really am. I have a wife that I married up to. I didn't marry down. I married up. She's a wonderful woman. The thing that attracted me to her was the passion that she had for God. She's a beautiful woman. She's an intelligent woman. She's a tremendous mother. She is a hard worker. She loves people, loves kids. And I have probably the best pastor's wife in the county as far as I'm concerned. I know I have the best wife for me. And so I'm just very, very thankful for my family. And so my wife, she was in for a career change here. It was a situation that wasn't planned, but a situation arose, and her supervisor came to her and said, I would like for you to tackle this new job, this opening that has come up. I believe that this person happened to be a Christian and said, I believe that you will do excellent at this job. And my wife, who had worked in offices before, she works in an office now, she was coming out of field work into office work. And this is how she responded. God, I'm going to really need your help to do this job. And I want you to know he does that. He guides, he gives wonderful counsel. He is an excellent guide. He will teach you what you need to know. Now, my wife will tell you she has grown phenomenally in her job, that her understanding has grown, her personality has grown, her confidence is grown. And I will say this, I don't think that there's anybody better in her field than what she is. Now, you can call me biased, and I've been called worse things. That's okay. But it's not just because of her. It's because of the presence of God. God wants to teach you. It doesn't matter if you are a farmer. God is an excellent farmer. If you are raising livestock, God does that. If you need, listen, the Bible says in the last days of the increase of knowledge that it would be exponential. It would be just on an unparalleled pace. God said that before the first computer was ever thought of. Guess what? He manages 7 billion people's lives on planet Earth. He knows what they think. He knows what their past is, what their present is, what their future is. He knows everything there is about them. You, if you're in technology, you need God to tell you how to do your job. As far as communication, Jesus was the best communicator that the planet had ever seen. There, you can't find a job, a biblical job, a good job, a moral job that God cannot help you with. We're here in election season. You can't find a person better at telling someone how to run a government than God, because he knows how difficult it is to govern the affairs of men. You and I, we need God. We need God at work. If you're in the business of fixing things, you need God, because he's been fixing men's messes for a long, long time. If you're in construction, he is a master craftsman. He is a master blueprint. If you need somebody with interior design, God specializes in that. If you're a gemologist, if you deal in diamonds and pearls and things like that, God knows all about that. If you deal with animals, God has created them. He specializes. He knows all about their life cycles and where they live and all that. You need God's help. Now, with that being said, by the way, I always like to point out two of the first people mentioned as being filled with the Spirit in the Bible, it happened in the Old Testament, they were craftsmen. A lot of times we think that spiritual activity only takes place inside the four walls of the church. I'm telling you that you and I, whether we're making furniture or selling items or whatever it might be, that God wants to fill us with his Spirit to make us the best possible representatives of his grace and mercy as he can. Now, here's what happens. We tend to get stuck thinking that we only have one assignment. In verses 20-24, it says, "Does the plowman keep plowing all day? So does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin?" Okay, and so there is the soil preparation stage of life. Okay, you have got to prepare the ground for the seed. You've got to make it level. You've got to get out all of the things that could strangle it out. You've got to make sure that it has the right elements and all of that. Now listen, we've just talked about how God was teaching how to do all of these things. Okay? And so my wife and I have had a tendency to be in the plowing stage of ministry. We would go in and where there wasn't much going on, we would go and we would sow things, we would prepare things, and then we would end up moving on, and a harvest would come as a result of that. Now, we've been at the church for 23 and a half years, and I want you to know that there has been a lot of ground preparation that has gone in. But it wasn't just the plowing. Okay? But what happens is sometimes we get our faith set on what we have always done. And if you have always been in the plowing stage, if you've always been in the preparation stage, plowing is hard work. Back in the biblical times, it was very hard work. There were no air-conditioned tractors or anything like that. It was done by hand or done by beasts of burden, and you had to work. It was hard work. It was hot work. It was sweaty work, but it was necessary work. You had to break up the fallow ground. You had to get out everything that could threaten the crop. But at some point in time, there was a transition from plowing the soil to planting the seed. there was a transition from plowing to planting. And you know, if you go to the store right now, before I get that, in baseball right now, Major League Baseball, there's all of these specialists. You know, there's first basemen and catchers and pitchers and outfielders and all of that. And a lot of times pitchers have been restricted. Well, guess what? This year, there's a manager for the Chicago Cubs named Joe Maddon. He used to be over in Tampa Bay. And in a game earlier this year, he had two pitchers in the game at the same time. He had one of them in the outfield and one of them on the mound. And the reason that he did that is because the one that was pitching at the current time was somebody that he wanted to face one batter, but he didn't want to lose him for another batter coming up. And so he sent him to the outfield and brought the outfielder in. And he said, okay, now you pitch. And then after that batter was over, then they switched roles again. You see, what he said is, look, all hands on deck. We have many jobs to do. And so today I can be sharing on the radio, and tomorrow I could be ministering to kids. The day after that, I could be helping somebody who's in need or making a hospital call. There are times when I'm doing administrative stuff. It is all hands on deck. We need to be ready for whenever God shifts the season. We are believing that we are in a seasonal change where we have not only plowed the ground, but we have sown the seed as well. And that seed, it gets covered up. You don't know what's going to happen to it. And there are some people that get really attached to the seed. And so they sow their seed and there's weeping. But the Bible says that they shall, with no doubt, they shall most certainly return with their sheaves rejoicing. And so life is not all about plowing. God will teach you how to plow, but then he will teach you also how to sow. How does that work on a job site? You need to be sowing for your future. You need to be sowing. And that takes a couple of different approaches, okay? First of all, you should be sowing to improve yourselves, improving your education, improving your training, improving your skills, making yourself more marketable. It can also be something as simple as this. There's a new person that comes on the job and you sow into them and you help them acclimate to be the best that you can be. What happens far too many times, man, I feel like I'm just rapid firing through this today. Too many times, everybody, because it's such a competitive job market that everybody's insecure that if they train somebody to do their job, that they might be end up being better at that job than they are. And so they don't help train other people on the team because they're insecure in their own set. When God teaches you, when God instructs you, when God gives you wonderful counsel and excellent guidance, you've got to understand he's going to continue that. God never starts a project that he doesn't finish. If one door closes, he's going to open up a better door. And so I want to encourage you to sow into someone else's life. Find somebody. I mean, rather than there being generational wars in our churches, why don't we adopt the mindset that we are going to sow into our young people to cause them to be the cream of the crop when the job market comes up so that they can go on and achieve great and mighty things for God. I don't believe in fighting fair. I believe in fighting anointed. And I believe that the people of God should be creative. I believe they should be innovative. And I believe that we should also be sowing. But it goes on and it says, the wheat is planted in rows and the barley in its appointed place and the spelt in its appointed place. And so there's going to be various places. Not everything is going to happen at the same place at the same time. I know this, that, that God's got a harvest for Meredith Assembly of God. God's got a harvest for First Baptist Church. Thank you all at First Baptist Church for all of the cards that you sent several weeks ago. I know that God's got a harvest for River of Life and Island Community Church. I thank God for the harvest. You see, there's a reason why they make 32 different flavors of ice cream. My mother loved butter pecan ice cream. I never really found it to be all that fascinating, but you give me strawberry and I'm going to be a happy camper. And so I know this, Meredith Assembly of God's not going to be a great fit for everybody, but there's going to be a few people that Meredith Assembly of God is going to be the place where they are planted. They are going to increase, they are going to thrive, and they are going to be fruitful. And so you've got to understand, some plants need lots of sun, some need lots of shade, some need very moist climates, some need arid climates, and you need God to teach you exactly what your environment and your circumstance, what the soil preparation needs to look like and what seed needs to take place there. Now, I'm thankful for what's happening at Meredith Assembly of God. God is improving the way that we think. He's improving in the technology that we have, the skill set that people have, and we're looking forward to our greatest days being ahead of us. Okay, now verse number 27. It says, "For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over it, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick and the cumin with a rod." Okay, "Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever. Break it with his cartwheel or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance." This now talks about the harvest. And because there were various things that were planted, okay, and so I encourage you to have a diverse crop that is planted in your life. You need to be sowing into the word. You need to be sowing into giving. You need to be sowing into worship. You should not have a single portfolio. You should be sowing into teaching and mentoring. You should be sowing into evangelism. There's a lot of people that say, "Oh, well, that's just not my personality." But last time I checked, that the people of as they wandered through the wilderness, they began to complain because of the monotony of their food supply, and you don't want that. God is looking for this beautiful bounty and diverse provision. Listen, God is the first great maestro as far as it comes to artistic expression. There's never been anyone who painted more vividly and more beautifully than God has. And so you need to be prepared, because different seasons cause for a different harvest. God produced a great, and to harvest those items, there were different techniques. Several years ago, I began to pray about a certain situation. We had gone through, back in 2005, 2006, 40% of our congregation moved away. It was a lot of our core team. It was Sunday school teachers, board members, children's church workers. It was just a lot of our very, very involved people, faithful givers. And it wasn't because there was a problem. There were people who moved away for family. There were job transfers, and there were people who retired to different areas of the country. All of those sorts of things were taking place, and it was devastating to us. And we, all of our kids' ministry was pretty much wiped out overnight. Our youth ministry was pretty much wiped out overnight. And we had to rebuild from scratch, and we weren't that young anymore. And several years into that process, probably 3 or 4 years after, I was still trying to build a youth ministry. And God said, "Bob, I want you to have a youth ministry too, but before you have a youth ministry, you've got to build a children's ministry. And I said, God, I've never been a children's minister. I've taught children and all that, but I've only been a youth pastor. And he said, I can teach you. And so we began to focus on kids ministry. And I want you to know, about a year ago, I think it was a year ago, September, we launched our youth ministry, because our kids ministry, those kids had grown and now they were young adults. And this summer, for the first time ever, we sent kids to youth camp. Last year, we sent kids for the first time in a long time to kids camp. This year, we sent them to youth camp. We have ladies that, listen, my philosophy at Merit Assembly of God is different from some other churches. We don't charge our people to send them to camp. We don't charge them to send them to youth convention or to men's convention or to the ladies' convention. We don't charge them. We invest in them. We invest in them because the things that here's what I can tell you, the things they do at the ladies' conference would not fly at the men's conference. The things they do at the men's conference would drive weighty ladies away by the hundreds. And the things that go on at the youth and the kids camp would be so loud that you wouldn't be able to keep an adult within, 25 or 30 miles of the place. It is different. And God says, if you will let me, I will not only teach you when to prepare the soil, I will teach you when to sow the seed, what seed to sow, where to sow it, and I will also teach you how to harvest it. And so wherever you are at, God will give you the wisdom. And I know this, he doesn't have you sow that seed so that there can be crop failure. He has you sow that seed because he wants bounty and fruitfulness in your life. You will never meet a person in your profession who knows more about the inner workings of your job and how to get the most out of it than God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God. Lean on God. And so I was really excited about this. I hope it was something that was meaningful for you today. I know this, there's nobody who knows how to pastor better than Jesus. There's no one who knows how to be a better husband than Jesus. You say, he wasn't married. We are the bride of Christ. He knows how to lay down his life for his bride. There's no one who's been a better father than God. And there's no one who does your job better than he does. Let's let him teach us his ways and teach us innovative and breakthrough methods that will cause us to be fruitful. Listen, workplace fruitfulness will result in kingdom growth and kingdom influence. Lord, I just thank you today. Bless those who are listening in creative ways in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.